There's a new man with authority over your workplace likely on the way. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. President Trump announced last night that he intends to nominate Eugene Scalia as his next Secretary of Labor. He would replace Alexandra Acosta, who resigned over his handling of a sex crimes case. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer is following this from Washington. You know, beyond the detail that Scalia is the son of the late Supreme Court Justice, Nancy, what's on his bio?
Well, he's an attorney. He was the Labor Department's top lawyer under President George W. Bush. He also worked for the Justice Department. He's now a partner at an international law firm. Scalia has represented various corporations that were challenging government regulations. He was hired by Walmart to argue against a Maryland law that would have required it to spend more on health care for its employees. He also helped convince a federal judge to vacate the fiduciary rule, and that would have made financial advisors work in their clients' best interest, even if that meant they made less money.
And some big issues facing the Labor Department right now.
Absolutely. The department is being pressured to speed up deregulation and roll back more rules from the Obama administration. For example, a rule making more workers eligible for overtime. Outgoing Labor Secretary Acosta was criticized for moving too slowly on deregulation.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer in our Washington Bureau. Thank you very much. Disney's new Lion King out this week, 25 years after the original. The photorealistic remake has already grossed over $100 million at the box office. The Lion King is practically a way of life. The original, sequels, Broadway, games, merchandise. Marketplace's Justin Ho reports on how much Disney can squeeze out of this thing.
Think of all the decades-old franchises Disney keeps resuscitating. Dumbo, The Jungle Book, Aladdin, The Little Mermaid. Neil Macker at Morningstar says Disney's mastered the art of pumping life into a franchise.
But not push them into the ground by just creating the same thing over and over again.
Macker says Disney has been freshening up the Lion King franchise. The Broadway show, which is now in its 22nd year, is a different visual spin on the story. The new movie is crazy realistic.
These are characters that are beloved, and this is another way to give people that love those characters a chance to interact with them.
Still, even beloved Disney franchises have an expiration date. And S. Abraham Ravid, a finance professor at Yeshiva University, says remakes aren't the most effective way to keep an old franchise going.
My research has shown that sequels are your best bet in the movie business.
He says sequels let you keep reinventing a brand to extend its shelf life. But he says you can't make a remake of a remake. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
What are you doing at 4:18 p.m. or 10:56 p.m. Eastern tomorrow? Those times will be, respectively, 50 years since the lunar module reached the moon and Armstrong's boot touched the surface. I'll be at a high school ball field helping kids build model rockets and flying some 1/100th and 1/72nd scale Saturn V. As you look up to what will be a waning gibbous, you may wonder when humans are going back. Well, the plan is for NASA to team up more closely this time with commercial companies, Marketplace's Jack Stewart reports.
Apollo 11 gets all of the attention, but in total there were 6 crewed landings on the moon. And by 1972, Jack Schmidt and Gene Cernan made the moonwalks of Apollo 17 look almost routine.
Oh, what a nice day. Oh, funny, there's not a cloud in the sky.
It's taken a while, but NASA wants to go back to the moon, and it's looking to commercial partners to tackle some of the challenges, like crew transport, the use of lunar resources, and surviving extreme environments.
These are the challenges we face to push the bounds of humanity. We're going to the moon to stay by 2024.
That's a NASA video narrated by the great William Shatner. The partnerships get kind of complicated. NASA recently selected 12 commercial unmanned science projects which it will send to the moon. To get them there, it'll become a customer of 3 other private companies, Astrobotic, Intuitive Machines, and Orbit Beyond, which will build the spacecraft for moon deliveries. Eric Stam was the president of the Commercial Spaceflight Federation, a trade organization.
NASA's developing the plans, and they're looking for who the best partners to execute these plans will be. Some of this work will be done at some of the NASA centers, but I think a lot of this work will be done by commercial companies that have this expertise in doing these things.
When it comes to manned flight, Amazon founder Jeff Bezos's rocket company Blue Origin, featured here in a promotional video, unveiled its own plans to take people to the moon. It's also amongst 11 companies selected by NASA to design a spacecraft capable of landing humans on the lunar surface, along with other big names like SpaceX, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, and Northrop Grumman.
In the case with Bezos, he's going to go to the moon regardless, but it's, you know, the fact that, you know, NASA's going there, I think there's a strong partnership that will be formed.
NASA may find that useful as international competition heats up. China's landed a robotic probe. India's delayed launch is due any day now. And there are already real economic benefits on the ground. Ella Atkins, a professor of aerospace engineering at the University of Michigan and an IEEE member, says the renewed U.S. investment in space is creating jobs for graduates.
From the perspective of the students and the young professionals, this is a new era where we're going to go beyond, not just repeat what we did before with going to the moon, but do much more.
This time around, getting to the moon might not be a national priority, but it is good business. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Miguel Contreras. Our engineer is Daniel Ramirez. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.